Good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. You probably already knew that. Today's March 22nd, 2022, and welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Got my friends from izzit.org here. That's I-Z-Z-Z-Z. I-Z-Z-I-T, izzit.org. This is a great company. We're doing everything we can to get the word out because although they have hundreds of thousands of teachers that actually use their stuff, all right, it's still not enough, okay, because these are great free resources for you. And today we're going to talk about the things they have in professional development, self-care for educators, and career readiness for kids. Again, it's all at izzit, I-Z-Z-I-T, izzit.org. And I've got Susan and Dean here. I'll bring them on in just a minute. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org like we always do. Everything we do is linked over there. Our magazine is there. They just click on the cover of Equity and Access, our online journal. Good issue. We'll have a new one out in a couple of weeks. All right. Then we also have all our podcasts there. We have a link to our teacher retention professional learning site. Okay, we're very concerned about this, okay? The teachers are leaving in droves. I hope you're not one of them, okay? We don't want to lose any more great teachers, so please check that out under professional learning, or you can go to teacher-retention.com, and then we also have seltoday.org, all about social-emotional learning, but it's all there. You can click through over at ace-ed.org, and here's Susan Gable and Dean Graziano from izzit.org. Ladies first. Good morning, Susan. It's Larry.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
How are you?
Good. How's life in Erie, PA?
You know, spring is coming. Thank goodness. We're starting to thaw out here and warm up a little bit. So,
but my standing joke is that there's exactly one pile of snow left in all of Maine, and it's on my front lawn.
I believe it. I think my parents up in northern Maine still have snow.
Yeah, they do.
Than a pile.
Yeah. I'm down in south, and it is melting here soon. My buddy Dean Graziano, how are you today? Where are you today? Are you in Concord, man? At Concord, New Hampshire?
Today I'm in Dover, New Hampshire, Larry. How are you doing?
Dover, excuse me. I'm good. And how's the snow situation in Dover today?
I'm pretty much like you, Larry. There's like one pushed pile at the end of the street.
Exactly.
Right by my driveway.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. It's spring has sprung. The second day of spring today. Dean, stay with me. Just tell everybody about izzit, just in case they don't know. Just tell izzit.org, everybody.
Sure. Well, thanks, Larry. Izzit.org is a nonprofit that's been around for 15-plus years. We believe at izzit that education can really enhance the power of individuals. And how we do that is by presenting and exploring the moral and social choices for living a flourishing life. And then the follow-up is, well, how's that work, Dean? What do you do? How does it make that happen? And teaching them that, as Susan will tell you, she's been here for 8 years. This is my second, but making
nine now.
9 years, actually, stand corrected. You're at eight.
Nine years.
Teaching them that, you know, to listen, to respectfully discuss and debate with others who hold views, which is important, contrary to your own, in a respectful fashion. How are those skill sets, the collaboration, the leadership, the grit, the persistence, those lead to a flourishing life no matter what career pathway you go? And that's really what it's all about.
It is indeed. And if I may, how much does it cost for teachers to get involved with it? All of K-12, though it's sweet for the middle grades and up. Okay, everybody can use it. Susan, how much does it cost to use?
Zero, Larry.
Zero.
It's absolutely free. And sometimes people have a hard time understanding that. They're like, nah, come on, there's got to be a catch. And there's not.
There's no catch.
One of our latest, there's no catch. We ask for feedback quite frequently. That's the catch. We will ask you, how did this work with your students? Because we use that feedback then to improve our future offerings, or even to improve what we've already done, to go back and make it better. I actually had a phone call from a teacher yesterday. We've started sending out our Unlock and Beat the Clock DVD sets, which is a really cool activity. And one teacher received it yesterday, and she called the office, and Marley, who's been on the show before, transferred the phone call to me. The teacher was quite concerned because she had signed up with us at the AASL, which we hooked up with, the
School
American Association
yep.
of School Librarians.
Yep.
And she had agreed at that time to get this DVD set, but then she had at some point sent an email or something that she didn't want it, and that sort of fell through the cracks, and she actually received it yesterday. And she called me frantic, like, I told you I didn't want this, because she was afraid we were going to
yes.
charge her.
That's right.
And I said,
that's
you know what? No, I said, you know, I said, this is not Columbia Records. Like, remember that back in the day, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get
late.
A bill.
Yeah,
that's
right. That's
right.
Great.
Like, you got 9 free videos or whatever,
yeah.
back of CDs or records back in the day, right? And then, but then you were like locked into this craziness. So I was able to talk her down and, you know, say, no, it's absolutely no cost. No, we're not going to charge you. There's nothing to worry about. And she was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll take a look at it then.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
No,
yeah.
Zero.
And it boils down to that, what we were telling them at that conference last October, Larry, your October, was like,
yeah.
It is free, really? It's that kind of like half eye closed, really? Yes, really. It really is free.
Yeah, well, very few things are, and there's usually a catch, and this is no catch.
Right. Yep.
Okay, this is good stuff.
Right.
It's free, and you're bringing up Columbia Record Club. Just cracked me up just now. I hadn't thought about that in years. And
forever,
for those of you who don't
right?
know, you would
totally
sign up. And I remember
myself.
With the albums, you would sign up. They give you 10 albums for $1, record albums, 33 and a third.
Right.
And then you were now signed up for the rest of your life at $4.98 a month or something. Okay, it was you canceled at any time, but the way to do that was so convoluted, it was ridiculous. So, why you brought up
exactly.
This is not like that. This is the opposite, and that's very funny that you brought that up. Okay, you must have learned about that in history class. Am I right, Susan?
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah.
it, Larry.
Yeah, yeah. What can I tell you? You brought up the two things, the unlock and beat the clock. And just talk about that. What is that, just so people understand it?
Yeah, well,
Susan.
This is a really great thing, that idea that Dean came up with, and I
yeah.
loved it. And it's it's kind of like an escape room concept, right, that we've created. And we've taken 4 of our videos. And we have sent sets out, and actually people can still sign up. So they can still go to the isit.org website and sign up for Unlock and Beat the Clock, and we will send them out the 4-box set until we run out of them, because we only had so many of them. But we do still have
yeah.
some in stock, so they can do that. But then what we've done is we've created these activity packets, which are the actual escape classroom concept thing, if you will. And so they relate around the concept on the video. So in fact, I'm still just finishing up. I'm finishing up one of them today, which is about our video, but Becoming Equal Under the Law. And so students, then the teachers have to print out, we give them links to all the images and stuff. They have to print out the clues and hide them around the classroom. And then the kids go, and then when they find a clue that answers the question, then they find another clue, whether that's a code that they have to decipher or it's a puzzle piece or whatever. So it's a very interesting way, fun way to get kids on their feet and excited about learning, right? Because sit in your chair and listen to me drone on only goes so far, right? So
right.
getting kids up out of their seat and having them actually get excited, and so that then when they go home and the parent says, what'd you do at school today? They might actually possibly tell their parents that they actually did something
yep.
at school today.
Check. Yeah, I would hope so. The usual answer is nothing. What'd you do in school today? Nothing.
Yeah.
You guys create good stuff. Go ahead, Dean. You said something. I talked over you.
The
Go
other
ahead.
Thing, too, that brings germane to the conversation quickly is that there are times as we just passed, like, say, the winter break here in New England, an April break or the for some of the private schools, if you will, they have that
yeah.
March, the spring break. These are great things that Friday before, when there doesn't seem to be not to any fault of any educator, but it's a great time to keep curriculum focused on task. There's standardized testing. So, for example, like the SATs here in New Hampshire is the state test. So what do you do with the sophomores, the freshmen, to keep them quiet? You could do this in a different area of the school. It's also not just, if you will, for a classroom, it could be classrooms, but it's like as Susan said, it makes it edutaining. You're keeping it entertaining while educating, but it's just another way that an educator can do in a long block, the last 40 minutes, so half the class is instruction, and then you can actually put this to use. There's a lot of ways to use it. I just, as Susan said, it's exciting to make kids want to come to school. It's kind of like if you build it, they'll come. No, if you're effective,
yeah,
they'll come and enjoy.
Yeah, they will indeed. And actually, Susan said something I wanted to talk to you guys about. And she said, you know, she was watching the DVD about equality under law, which is actually the words basically are over the Supreme Court building, which brings me, this is a long segue, which brings me to the current hearings that are going on right today. Again, today's the 22nd of Judge Jackson for the Supreme Court. All right, and she quoted that yesterday, that line that's above the Supreme Court building. And, Dean, stay with me. I wanted you to talk about current events. Okay, by the way, there's a lot, I don't know if you know this, there's a lot going on in the world these days. Current events, and is it? Because that's an important thing to be teaching right now. And just talk about it. Dean.
Okay, well, the current events we have is one of our free programs. I like to get that as much as we can. There are two a day. So educators can actually stay in touch with or in tune with what's happening in the world, and a lot going on right now, obviously, both internationally and nationally, can access, have to be a registered ISIT user, but they can access these two-a-day lessons. They're actually auto-scored for the educator, and it's not like we're trying to say we take all the work away from you, but we take all the work away from you. They've got other things to work on in curriculum, things like that. So what we've done is add this supplement to a current events class or even a U.S. history class or a current events class that already exists. And what it does is it brings educators contribute to this, and Susan will talk more to this, but it brings educators that we have on staff and or are our teacher writers that we've worked with that actually prepare these and get them to us. They're, as we said, timely. It's current event. But what I love about them is it's quite the spread. It isn't just a history focus. It could be a science focus. So teachers, interdisciplinary or not, may be able to use it. It's not just like the history teachers are going to use current events. This could be something that the science, the ELA teachers, depending on the topic and subject matter, and we've seen teachers in schools share it. Hey, this is something Larry, the science teacher, right, and share that off. So students should be attuned and abreast of what's going on around them. Again, those are choices that they're going to be making in the voters' booth at 18 and beyond. So the current events, I think, is one of our most popular programs, to be quite frank.
Yes.
And we get a great response for it. Susan, if you'd like to add anything.
Susan?
Yeah, well, as you said, Dean, these are done for us. We have a small staff of current educators. These are folks who are in the classroom on a daily basis who write these for us. So they, you know, again, they're in tune with students, and obviously they're in tune with what's going on in the world. Important things, again, one of the things that we didn't hit on early on is that critical thinking is one of our other big buzzword, it is a buzzword, but it's not just a buzzword. Like, we put our money where our mouth is.
Right.
Like, we're very, very, we find it an important thing, you know, critical thinking. Lord help us. Could we please all start asking questions about everything and anything? Let's not take anything at face value. Let's dig a little bit deeper. So our current events is meant to do that, right? And that's what you're going to find. You're going to find a bunch of critical thinking questions, which can be used to have a discussion or a debate in the classroom. And again, Dean did talk about that again, there is a skill that we have lost, right? That ability to discuss with something that is not the same point of view, or with someone that's not taking the same point of view, and do it in a respectful manner, because that's the way we solve problems, right? Because I certainly don't know everything. I mean, I see a lot of people on the news who seem to think that they they do know everything and they have all the answers. And we all know
yeah,
that they don't.
Right.
I wish they'd start asking more questions. And so that's what we're trying to do. Also, vocabulary words. We pull out vocabulary words. Now we don't provide the definitions. Like, that's what the students need to do. Go find the definitions for these words. Obviously, these are the words you need to know to understand this particular article. So two articles a day, they are at different reading levels, and that's what Dean was alluding to about the scoring. We do put a readability score on these. I think that the scores tend to skew a little high because it's interesting the way that it's a computer, it's an AI that scores it.
Yeah.
And the algorithms that they use, I feel that they skew a little higher than they probably should, but depends on the structure of the article, or if there's any big words. If there are multiple big words, like a name of a place, then it skews it a little bit higher. But it's a great program. It's a great program.
It really is. And I do want to do another segue, okay, because we're talking about the Supreme Court. All right, that's what's going on this week with Judge Ketanji Jackson. All right, and I don't care which side you're on politically, that's not what I'm talking about. We want to teach kids what's going on and teach it, as you said, respectfully. Okay?
Right.
And it doesn't matter Republican, Democrat, we're Americans here, and this is the way we choose Supreme Court justices. Just either one of you, I don't know whether Dean wants to do it or Susan, I'll throw it to Susan, you can throw it to Dean. Just talk about what you're doing with Judge Ginsburg, who was a Supreme Court nominee.
Yes, he was. Judge Ginsburg is the host of our civicsfundamentals.org program. And again, another entirely free program that we took the 100 questions that are asked on the naturalization test, right? The Immigration and Naturalized Service test for new citizens.
Yeah.
So these are the 100 questions that the government decided that a new citizen should know. And we took those 100 questions and the answers, but we expounded upon the answers, right? Because it's not enough to just give a rote answer, right? Okay, why are there 13 stripes on the flag? Well, you know, okay, so we expound upon all of those. You know, what are the two parts of the Congress? And well, we wanted to talk about why. Why did the framers decide that there should be two parts, you know, to our government instead of that? How does the checks and balances system work? So again, it's civicsfundamentals.org, and again, free resource, fabulous. Dean can speak to this, but more and more states are putting on a requirement for civics. Thank goodness, because
yeah.
I always say, I don't know how you can participate, right? A lot of civics programs in schools, a lot of social studies, the big push is to get students active, you know. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying is please understand the system before you go running into, you know, being active on it. Understand it first. So, Dean, you want to speak a little more to that?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing, Dean, before you start. Hold on, Dean. I just got to say something. I don't want to brush over the civic side. All right, I'm an old history teacher. All right, nothing wrong with STEM. We put a lot of emphasis on STEM, and
right.
kids need to know that, as do adults. But the purpose right. of schools in this country, public education, was to create literate citizens. All right, and those two words go together, literate citizens. Doesn't mean you have to take
mm-hmm.
a certain point of view, all right? And we have
right.
we taught the literacy side and all, then we got too much onto the STEM side. I still say that. And we forgot the essence of what it's all about. And the work you guys do, it isn't, and everyone else, is so important in civics. Okay, we can see the pain we're going through for not doing it. And in regards to that immigration test, the citizenship test, something like 30% of only 30% of Americans can pass it.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. Okay,
well,
Dean, I didn't mean to steal your thunder if I did, but
no,
my point.
That there is the impetus why Judge Ginsburg has kind of made the mission, if you will. He's a sitting judge, semi-retired, but sitting judge.
Wow,
and he doesn't get
yeah.
paid for this. And the good news is that. Very passionate about bringing what you just said, a civics literate society. With that being said, there are 42 states that have some sort of a civics as Teach Civics. 18 states have now, Oklahoma, I think, is the last one of 17, 18 that be signed by the governor. I think it's approved by the Senate. The point is that those 18 states, like New Hampshire, here where I am, require that not only do you have a civics half credit, quarter credit to graduate from high school, you also have to take the percentage of the citizenship test and pass that. So with that being said, I took the 100 questions that the foundation piece that Judge Ginsburg's done through the Learn Everywhere program here, that credit anywhere, anytime, went through the arduous process, really beefed up a syllabus, a course, and now we have approved accreditation here in New Hampshire through the Learn Everywhere.
Wow, great.
Frank
great.
Blue, who you just had two weeks ago on your show, my former boss at the Department of Education, out to a couple
he's
other
still,
states.
He's still the education chief. Let me just make the point, Frank's still the education chief in New Hampshire, still.
Yep.
Dean has
yes.
left the
yes. It was his
department.
Former
yeah.
boss.
Yeah, former boss.
Yeah,
Dean left,
the
not
Department
Frank.
Of Ed,
yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And he reached out to a couple states out west, and I will be traveling the first week of April to two of them to sit down with our Learn Everywhere syllabus and the foundation, because there are two states that are requiring the USCIS, the citizenship test. So it's growing. It's, as you said, bipartisan. You have 42 states. So there are Democrat and Republican governors, the same as commissioners or superintendents of instruction for each state.
Right.
Everyone's getting it's a group approach that our kids need to have that civic literacy. You made the statistic that 2 out of 3 can't pass the test.
Oh,
the worst statistic, as we're talking to educators today, 80% of teachers teaching civics don't feel comfortable enough with the training to teach civics.
Hmm.
Or teach
Where'd you get that statistic? That's a great statistic.
Well,
wow.
Larry, you were an old teacher. I was a teacher, a department chair of social studies, a curriculum specialist.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it was, well, there's not enough money or budget. It's a budget thing. So there's an elective cut. You're going to teach civics. What? So unfortunately, that seems to be more the draw or how it works than the other way, where, hey, I want to teach civics 4 sessions. So it's kind of a plug the hole. And our emphasis at ISIT and with Judge Ginsburg is to make sure that we're getting some of the best material and really the ability to really leave a lasting impression on these students about their responsibilities and their civic engagement.
You're here. And by the way, that this would be from middle grades on. Am I right, Susan? Middle grades on?
Yeah.
Civics? Or do you,
about sixth grade and up, and,
yeah,
and including actual adult learners who are studying for the citizenship test.
That's great.
Yes.
Actually, all adult learners, okay? And I have that, Dean, you know, you're an
right.
old history teacher like I am. I have, you know, I was just thinking, we were, civics was part of the social studies regime, as it always has been, okay? But I'm trying to think back, and it is a long time ago now, I had a lot of history classes, okay, when I was training teacher college. But I don't think I ever had a course on how to teach civics. Did you have a course on how to teach civics? When you were in college?
No, we had like a political – my minor was – I was a history major, political science minor, so I had a heavy, if you will, course structure for the minor that had like political science, and it covered the Constitution. So that was pretty much my, if you will, teaching training for civics. Like you said, there isn't like teaching learning 101 and, you know, civics 101.
There should be. There should be.
They kind of embed it in
yeah.
history class. You know, when I was in Connecticut, Larry, in 2001, the state decided to make civics a requirement. And I was then the department chair, and Carolyn, who was our curriculum director, said, let's make this work. And we came up with a way to embed it, unfortunately, because we had no option, U.S. History 10, 10th grade, 11th,
right.
with the Constitution, civic engagement. We had the kids had to write a letter, snail mail, not email, and they had to write a letter to either a local or state or U.S. rep or senator on a change. And one boy, Ryan, I won't mention last name, wanted a bus line from Stafford through Summers to Enfield, because that's where the mall was. And he actually got a letter, and through his action, actually did that. And I embedded that
there
in New Hampshire, where the part of our course for the Learn Everywhere, kids will actually have to do the same thing. They're going to have to actually write a letter that impacts both or a local or state level, to make an improvement, or a doing well, doing not, how would you change it? Could be something as small as a dress code at a school, all the way up to, I want a bus line here in Dover that doesn't already exist. So the civic engagement piece is something that we hold dear as well, because that is that, if you will, that activity that really gets students to understand how government works. And let's be honest, I don't think there are many students today, some people might, that have not written a letter in years. And that is a skill that will never go out of touch.
So important, whatever. Thanks, Dean, on every level. I want to swing over to something else I wanted to talk about with you guys today. You know we do SELtoday.org. Okay, that's social-emotional learning. That has a lot to do with social-emotional learning for kids. But there's a lot of social-emotional stress. Teachers are stressed out, too. All right? And you know that a lot of teachers are leaving the profession, which is terrible. Okay? They're stressed. All right? Let's face it. There's a lot of pressure on them, and they're stressed. And you had a note as we were preparing the show about what you guys do for kind of – I'll just throw it under an umbrella of self-care for educators. Susan, can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah, Larry, that was one of our recent professional development webinars that we did. And so important, again, one of the things that we covered in it, for example, was setting boundaries, right? And that included, because I know today that, you know, teachers, like many of us, are more connected than ever. And unfortunately, that takes a toll. So, you know, setting boundaries as far as, you know, I will respond to parent emails up to 6 p.m., but after that, no more. You know, I will or I will not be available on the weekend to do some of these things, because it is important, especially given the high stress last couple years that we've had and the fact that, as you said, teachers are leaving. And when teachers leave, that puts more pressure on the folks who are left behind. It's the same in any kind of organization, right? When staff gets reduced, it puts up more stress on the staff that are left behind. We know there's been a sub shortage, and that is also like teachers' preps are being eaten up because they're busy covering other teachers' classes. So we talked quite a bit of a variety of techniques and different ideas that teachers could use, and some specifically to teachers, you know, making use of your network. Sometimes staying out of the teacher's room, right? We said sometimes maybe you need to take a step back. It's like taking a diet from the news, right?
Yeah.
Because even though we have a current event service, sometimes, or taking a break from social media.
Sometimes you need a break.
Right?
Sometimes you need a break.
Sometimes you just need a break. So I thought this was really one of the most important PDs that we've done. And as Dean spoke earlier, you can find those. Those are recorded, and they are on our website, on the professional development page on our website, and can be accessed at any time. So we encourage teachers to go and take a look.
Okay.
So if I could
Dean, go ahead.
Just a quick thing, the social-emotional learning, that human connection, right? We're trying to regulate, or should be regulating ourselves emotionally, right? And that's the things that have happened, like, the stress levels over the last 2 years, the kids, the depression, and some of them lost people, the trauma, right, and or the teachers leaving the building, leaving the career. So the good news is that this is something in one of the what is the next thing that you're working on? Well, not to sound to push the PD, but we did that You Matter self-care. But if you go and look at some of the PD, one of the things that resonated at the last workshop, the self-care, is the down to the wire. We did one called Down to the Wire Time Management. And as Susan said, the librarians are doing, the herds are being brought in because there's two or three teachers out or left. There's no subs. And that down to the wire time management, I used to say to my staff, if you're leaving tired and not in the COVID world, then you're not doing your job right, because you've got to be more of that guide on the side. And we have a great one that kind of goes perfectly with the self-care, and that's the down to the wire, the time management. How are you looking at this much work with more than this much time or less time to fulfill that? So when you talk about the social-emotional learning piece, the SEL, and part of what Equity Consortium that you guys are doing or are, I think that's the next it. That's the next it, because those are the high-demand PDs that both Susan and I are seeing and requesting. So that's like moving forward. That's the next it thing it will be in that space to provide as much research. It's not something that we're just winging. Susan and I both took professional development Harvard Grad School of Ed, because we can't teach PD and know every topic, but if we don't, we become as accustomed and as quick learners as we can to be able to use the most current information. So Susan and I ourselves are going through a series of professional development so we can actually provide the best material for these educators, and there's no cost to that.
Yeah, that's the key. And, you know, we've said this before. We always talk about a school being under-resourced, all right? And I want to tell everybody at izit.org, and again, that's I-Z-Z-I-T, izit.org, okay? These great resources are free, okay? So please, okay? And this is for teachers who have been there forever, teachers who want to use other people's expertise to create great stuff, okay? We want to leave some great things for a substitute teacher if you need a day off or whatever. It's all here, okay? Plus for yourself under the professional development. Thanks, guys. This was excellent. I just love what you're doing. It just gets better and better, Dean and Susan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Well, we'll do more. Okay, we're just going to keep reminding people, singing the song. Eventually, it'll become an earworm, okay?
Let's hope so. All right, thank you. Thanks, Larry. Have a good day.
You too. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Dean Graziano, Susan Gable from izit.org, I-Z-Z-I-T.org. We'll archive everything we do over at ace-n.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.